Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. My name is Kong Shang, and I am the host of this podcast. Again, the goal of this show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you to act, and get you in the right mindset so you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Now, I'm very excited about today's guest. Her name is Dr. Sylvia Ma. Dr. Ma is a redemptive entrepreneur and investor serving as the new director of innovation at Biola University. She's also entrenched in the startup scene as managing partner at Stella Impact Capital, a seed stage venture fund investing in diverse women founders with deep tech solutions, and as well as a partner at Astro Ventures, which aims to get to even for high achieving women leaders, investors, and founders. Since 2010, Dr. Ma has invested in over 120 seed stage startups that are female-led or have BIPOC, people of color founders, from medical devices to SaaS platforms to CPG companies, and from San Diego, Portland, and Brooklyn. She's, in her spare time, does enjoy traveling and spending days at the beach, in Disney, and hot chocolates and coffees with her three kids. So, Sylvia, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have you on the show. You bring such, you know, such joy in throughout those moments that I've met you, and I want to, you know, bring a little bit of that to my audience, as well as your, you know, breadth of experience in the startup venture space. So let's get started and ask you, how did you get involved in this work?
Oh, great question. You know, it's the journey of an entrepreneur and investor is kind of all over the place. It's not really linear. It goes in and out and up and down and all around. So definitely have had that journey throughout my life. I started off actually as a scientist. I have my PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology, working on sea urchins at Scripps Institution of Oceanography, which is associated with UCSD. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I did not hug any whales, but worked on sea urchin fertilization proteins. So I lit up sperm for 7 years in my PhD. So sea urchin sperm. But basically that allowed me to really understand science, and I love the science aspect of it. And then as soon as I finished my PhD, I had two children at the time of my PhD. So not the greatest time to have children, but my second one was special needs. And he basically lived, we lived at Children's all the time doing therapies and stuff like that. So I couldn't do the regular academic route of going all over the United States, postdoc here, postdoc there. I had to stay in San Diego because he was super sick. So that kind of led me to say, okay, what can I do with a science background? And that led me to teaching K-12. It got me teaching in higher education in the engineering school at UCSD. Mm-hmm. So in that kind of experience, I was a director of the Teams and Engineering Service Program at UCSD. So we were able to get engineering students to work together on projects for not-for-profits. So lo and behold, that really does equate to social innovation. And that's kind of how that started, in trying to bring science together with finding great solutions, impactful solutions for not-for-profits. And then that kind of generated into for-profit entities. Then I started helping faculty, graduate students, and undergrads understand what are they doing in their science labs to commercialize their technologies. So that kind of transitioned into that. Then I said, you know what, I should probably get my MBA. Went to Rady School of Management with now three children. And really understood the business side of it, but also I was part of three startup companies as like the business side of the startup with the technologists, let's say the engineers that were working on that. So really great, just kind of norming and storming through the startup ecosystem, being super involved with like pitching and then being a judge for a pitch competition, then doing K-12 pitch competitions, then doing all these things. And one thing that I always knew that there was access to capital was so hard for women like me. I'm originally from Caracas, Venezuela. So as a Latina, It's very hard for Latinas and BIPOC founders to receive funding. So it's always was part of the challenge of creating a company or, you know, mentoring my students. And so when I was getting my MBA, I didn't know like, where am I going to go? I'm going to go back into biotech to like help biotech companies because of my PhD. Do I go into a startup or do I go back home and help my dad with his business, with his family business? And then my father passed away unexpectedly during that time. And I got access to capital basically that I didn't even know about, right? I was blessed. I did not know because we lived very rudimentary in Caracas. My dad was a survivor of World War II and my mom rationed sugar growing up. So very like fashion centric, very just that kind of method, you know, thought process in my home. Mm-hmm. So again, access to capital, I'm like, oh, I can be an investor. Oh, wow. I can actually make an impact and plug that gap in the ecosystem that I've been seeing and feeling, and I want to do something about it. Wow. I can do something about it. I'm going to work until the day I die. Right. But I really want to activate my own capital. So I started having like, I took Golden Seeds investor bootcamp and 37 Angels bootcamp and Pipeline Angels bootcamp. Bootcamp, everybody that I could possibly get my hands on. I learned everything that I could about being an investor. And then of course, now, you know, going forwards, you know, 12 years, I've invested in 120 companies. I also raised an accelerator, Stella Labs, that now is being run by Raven O'Neill, and Lauren Rowley does the chief investment officer part of it. And Raven is the chief executive officer of Stella Brand that really goes into the acceleration of entrepreneurs, the acceleration of angel investors, teaching them and having opportunities to invest and, you know, just kind of being active in the ecosystem. So that in a nutshell is how I got into all of this.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. How do you gather so much enthusiasm and energy to push yourself forward in these spaces? Because oftentimes they're difficult, especially if you're a woman and a person of color.
Yeah, it's, you know, meeting people like you, right, that come into the ecosystem and say, how do I do this? And I can say, I have a really great network of wonderful people that I have been able to create and, you know, like grow and nurture that now I can really actually help you or help others. That's like my servant's heart, right? Is that I want to serve entrepreneurs. I want to serve investors to make sure that they are getting the right resources, the right opportunities. So when you ask me, what's this like, why do I get up every single morning? It's that, right? I really can get up every single morning knowing that I'm going to make an impact. And sometimes it's like some days are like, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed and I can only do one thing, right? Really. And I have to like, you know, do all these emails and wow, it's really, it's not like, oh, everything is like all, you know, unicorns and rainbows. It's not, right? But it's that getting up and knowing every single day I can make an impact, even if it's a small thing, even if it's a big thing. That's how that works in this kind of craziness that we all live in as entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really ties into, if I could kind of put that into a word, impact, which mm-hmm. is how do I wake up every morning knowing that there are people who are in need of my service? And how can I show up in a way that can change their lives by making a positive impact? And it's through all the work that you've done, you know, coaching founders, providing them with access to capital, you know, resources such as mentors and connections. And like for me, I grew up in a, you know, family. I'm one of 12 kids and my parents are political refugees of the Vietnam War. And when the war broke out, my people, Hmong, we fled our country and my parents left everything behind to a different world that they never knew that exists. In the 70s, Laos was considered third world country. It's beginning to, you know, to have its own development. But back then it was a third world country. And so just hearing the stories and challenges that my parents went through being refugees in that era and have to come here with nothing and have to begin a completely new life and the sacrifices that they had to make in order to raise me and my siblings, it's so incredible. And so I often think about, you know, my background and folks who are similar to my background, who are people of color, who are queer. And then, you know, of course, where do we begin as we venture off and build our own business? Who do we connect with? You know, it's not like I have access to resources and opportunities considering where my parents came from. And so in a way, it's considered a barrier to my growth, career growth, but also at the same time, it provides me with a unique perspective that I know I can carry with me. And mm-hmm. that specifically, I can look back and say, I knew my roots and I honor that. And mm-hmm. I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that I'm not going to be where my parents were. And so, and then I often don't compare my life to anyone, but I look at some of my peers who are privileged, who have all the access resources that are given to them, and yet they've done nothing with their life. And so there's pros and cons to every situation, obviously, but just knowing that you have such a passion for communities of color and wanting to make an impact in these people, you know, is truly inspiring to me.
Well, thank you. I see it as, you know, what you talked about is the resilience that your parents taught you, you know, yeah. And it's like, I feel like also like it's they provided a launch pad for you, right? Mm-hmm. They wanted so much for you to be able to grow from there. And the more that you can honor that, like you said, honor is super important. Mm-hmm. I honor my descendants. Like my dad was an orphan during World War II. Like mm-hmm. he had nobody. His dad died. His mom died. You know, nobody. They had like 8 children. And he was in an orphanage with another, you know, sibling when they were like 6, 7, and 8 years old. He lived throughout a political prisoner in Austria during World War II, came to Venezuela with nothing, right? As an Italian immigrant. So it is white, but as an Italian immigrant to Venezuela with nothing, I came here to the United States going to college. Did I have a network? No, but did I reach out to people and be genuine and saying, wow, this is my story and let's connect. That's the beauty of things. And I like was just trying to like connect based on like what my love of impact, my love of course, first science, right? But then as you're growing and all that, it's like, I reach out to my peers. 12 years ago, my peers were my peers. Now they're like crazy and angel investors or crazy entrepreneurs that have done amazing jobs and amazing impact in the world, but they were my peers 12 years ago. I just had to say, hey, let's have coffee. And they're like, yeah, let's go. And now it's like, we're in a completely different like set of circumstances, but we still honor each other. And we honor our backgrounds and we honor the relationships that we've built over the years.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's so incredible. It's always important to recognize our roots and where we come from, because that humbles us and mm-hmm. Also reminds us that we shouldn't take this life for granted and that we should do everything we can to achieve our hopes and dreams and be successful and then give back to those.
Yeah, and we're the dream of our ancestors.
Right.
100%. Right. And that's like, so like, it gives me chill.
Giving me goosebumps. I'm like, oh my goodness.
And that is true. Like I see my grandmother, my grandmother, not just like my great, great, great grandmother. As my grandmother had a fourth grade education, like now would be fourth grade. Back then it was about sixth grade. Like, and I had a PhD and an MBA. That's just two generations. but right. she made sure her daughter had the education she needed. And mm-hmm. then she, my mom was like, you need to have an education. So I am like, my grandmother's great. Like she couldn't even think and dream about like, even just a woman being able to be an investor, not even like in her wildest dreams, right. but she dreamed of education, right? Mm-hmm. Education leads to empowerment, which leads to purpose, which leads to everything, right? That's what you're like, hey, that's what's the nugget. And you honor that every single day. You get up and you're like, okay, I'm gonna do this, right? And you know right. that you stand on these shoulders that just hold you up, and you know that they're holding you up. And then you have your peers that are like, okay, so like, how do I help you, right? And then that next generation's like, okay, if I did all of this, oh my gosh, like the 20-year-olds that are out there. Wow. I have so much hope for you, right? Yeah. All of us have a piece of this, and honoring and blessing that is just so, that's what like gets you up every single day. No matter if you know, let's say revenue is like, yes, I know. Entrepreneurship is horrible and a journey and ups and downs, but that's what keeps you going.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned earlier a point about how you're, you know, two generations away from, you know, from that. And I'm looking back and I'm like, wow, I'm one generation away from political prosecution. That is crazy. That is so crazy. Now I get to live in the greatest country on earth. I think personally, it's the greatest country on earth because it gives us access to opportunities. And it's amazing how and beautiful how life can be if you look at the positive things. And then the other thing you mentioned that I want to comment on was about showing up, and I may walk into the room as the only person of color or the only gay person in a room of 300 people, but I stand with, there's so many people behind me that, you know, people who've coached me, mentored me, mm-hmm. Taught me things, like those people are behind my back. They're there to support me every step of the way. And I may show up alone, but I also remind myself that I'm part of a larger community, and this community loves me, wants me to succeed, wants me to win. And so often we don't feel that way, but we also have to remind ourselves that that is true. That is true. If we reach out to the people who've coached us, mentored us, they would say, I'm with you every step of the way. The challenge I would have, the challenge I would have sometimes is, you know, going back and reminding myself that. So it does require a unique mindset. Can you speak to us about like what type or types of mindset are needed to be successful in this entrepreneurial space?
Yeah, well, first of all, you claim that seat, right? And if it's hard, like you just said, it's hard for you to maybe, and also for me, to sometimes have claimed that seat, because you're like, okay, is it like so egocentric that I want to claim that seat at that table? Or is it like, should I not? Like, am I worthy? Am I not worthy? I feel like for me personally, I have claimed my seat because I know that other people didn't even have the opportunity to even be in that room to claim that seat, right? So then you're like, I'm going to claim that seat, people, right? So that you're like, hey, I'm going to do it, right? So that's one thing of like, seeing the mindset that you have, if you're having a challenge of, do I do it for myself? Like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. Like mm-hmm. I'm not worthy. It's like you said, you have a community that supports you and they have never had that opportunity. So mm-hmm. you take that because they never could even take it. So you're doing it for somebody else. If you feel like you cannot do it. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's one thing that whenever I take a stage, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, this is everything. It's not just the mentors that have mentioned me. It's a whole community. So that's one thing. And the second thing is an abundance mindset, right? So it's hard also to have an abundance mindset in the whole, like, okay, sing kumbaya and have an abundance mindset. It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's the abundance mindset of not a scarcity mindset. As people, like for myself, as an immigrant, as my parents were immigrants, to Venezuela, their scarcity mindset of going through war was real, right? So right. I lived that way as a scarcity piece of just, like I said, sugar, scarcity mindset of like, everything will be taken away because of war, right? So to transfer that into an abundance mindset is very challenging, right? And it's not for the faint of heart, is saying, okay, I can live abundantly, even when I don't have abundance, That is hard, yes. Right? And is incredibly hard. So for me, it's like, when I say abundance mindset, I really have gone through the trenches, right? Yes. Of like, so, okay. But as soon as you turn that into like, how can I live more abundantly, mm-hmm. right? How can I not think about revenue every single day? Or how can I not think about like something like bills coming in? I know it's front and center. I completely understand that, but okay. So how do I build a network? How do I spend 30 minutes being abundant that day, right? And not being in the scarcity mindset. And even if it's 15 minutes, right? Of like, even like having a prayer time that you have, or that you are connecting somebody on LinkedIn as a network, something that's abundantly speaking, then it becomes more and more your vernacular and more of how you show up. And the more that you show up bigger and more abundantly, people will see you differently. Right. And you can charge more money as a consultant, or you can raise your prices because you feel confident about that. Do you see how that, even though if it's not like in that day that you like, okay, all the bills will be gone away. It's not that. It's like, okay, in 6 months, will I be in a different place to have me be able to obtain a different revenue or a different price or a different, you know, fee or something like that. Right. So that's one thing. And then the third one is to be have a lot of gratitude, right? So, you know, having that gratitude mindset allows you to be that great connector, that great networker, that great person that says, okay, how can I help you? Because if you are not full of gratitude, we already talked about like thinking about our ancestors. If you're grateful for where you've been and how you have gotten here, wow, like you come into any situation so much more, alive, right? You might not be confident, right? It's hard to be confident when you have a background of scarcity, but you can come in saying, okay, I'm grateful for everything that comes. I'm going to show up so much more grateful. And then whatever comes that day of whatever comes your way, right? If you're talking or you're claiming your seed or you're, you know, doing emails, you're like, wow, at the end of the day, you're like, I'm so grateful that I had this day, that I was alive another day, that I was able to actually have email and have Wi-Fi, right? If you kind of continue having that conversation, you become more grateful about the little things and the big things. And then it's like, oh, gratitude comes back to you because let's say, you know, your network, they're like, wow, that person always says, thank you. That person always is grateful for everything. They never think that, you know, things are atrocious, right? It comes back in like multitudes of gratitude back to you if you share that gratitude to others. So those are the three things that as a leader, again, I take a lens as a servant leader more than anything, right? So, and it's hard when it is a leadership position or that you want to change your way when you're, you know, challenged every single day with, you know, bills and stuff like that. So I know it's not hard. It's not easy.
Right. It sounds like it's also like you also have to have like some sort of strategy in place or daily abundance practice.
Yes.
Or mindfulness practice to just to set the tone for the day, and then doing that every day until you live it. And mm-hmm. if you do that long enough, for let's say, like you said, 6 months, you live it and you bring a different type of energy that people recognize, and it's an energy that people want to stick around, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why would I want to be in, you know, in an environment or with people that have a safe, you know, scarcity mindset? It's just negative energy for me mm-hmm. when I could, you know, choose to walk, you know, across the other aisle and say, I want to be around those people because they're the ones that have the abundance mindset and the positive outlook on life and all that stuff that can actually feed me positivity and, you know, and really help me make some change in my life in order to get me where I need to be.
Sure.
And so those are very valuable and useful information in terms of shifting our mindset. In terms of, can you speak to us, like in terms of habits, like how do you implement successful habits? Like what are some of your daily habits that have led you to where you are today?
Yeah, I run through my day really, really quick, right? So I have a lot of things to do. So I'm the kind of a proponent of small habits, small things that you can do, because I don't have the time to, like, you know, even have, like, some people are like, oh, at the end of the day, I have a bath and I have, like, you know, candles. I have three kids. I run a couple businesses. No way, right? So I'm not the perfect example of that. However, I take little moments. So I'm definitely a prayer warrior. I pray every single day. I have prayer cards that, I mean, sometimes I can go on for like an hour when I do have time, and I go through each person on my prayer card, right? Of like, I pray for this person in person. And that's my, if you're not, let's say Christian or anything like that, you can meditate. It's the same sort of kind of thought process of thinking outside yourself. So, but what I do, the reason why I said the prayer cards is that sometimes I just put them in my hands when I know that I only have a little bit of time. I put them in my hands and I say, okay, I pray for all of these people. I pray for a great day. I pray for things to go well, to, you know, that what's going on in the world, that people are outside of harm's way. And that's, sometimes that's all I can say, because I'm like off to the next thing, right? So that's one thing. If you have a habit too, of like you walking your dog or something like that, just, you know, like maybe breathe in a couple more breaths and say, okay, like, and have that gratitude. Like, okay, I'm grateful for this. Even if you just say it in 2 seconds, that allows you to have that peace of mind throughout the day. Another thing, like whenever I'm really, really stressed out, and let's say I have a presentation by Zoom or something like that, the easy thing is, like, right before that presentation or a panel or whatever you're doing, I ground my feet on the ground, right? I just like sit, like I can just sit down, put my feet on the ground and just like close my eyes and just feel the anchoring of, let's say, Mother Earth, and bring that down and think about the roots that go down. I do that all the time, right? When I just need that, just anchoring and kind of centering. And sometimes it is just 5 seconds or 30 seconds. If you can take that. And at the end of the day, usually I just have a little piece of paper, or I have a journal beside my bed. Sometimes I don't know where my journal is, you know, that's how it is as a busy mom. I'm like, okay, the kids took it again, right? No. So I write it down, just even like two things that I'm grateful for by the end of the day. I just kind of just write that out. And then I know that in the morning, I know that I'm always thinking about the things at night, and I'm like, I can't shut down my brain. I write two things that I need to do in the morning super fast. So like two things that I'm grateful for, two things I need to be in the morning. So when I get up, I'm like, doom, doom, done. Like, I'm grateful for that again. And this is what I need to get done. So those are kind of little, like, again, that those really chunkable smaller things is what I advocate for.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's great that you have these habits or practices, you know, throughout the day that you implement, because as busy as you are and you still having to find some time to implement these practices, it truly tells the world what kind of person you are, that you are someone that takes time to take care of yourself and ensure that, you know, you're setting the right intentions in all of your interactions in life. And mm-hmm. I love that. I really mm-hmm. love that. Speaking of intentions, what does purpose mean to you, and how does it show up in your life?
So purpose, I mean, purpose and impact, I would say, are interrelated. I think purpose is more of like, what is my own individual purpose in life, right? What do I want to leave the earth with? What do I want to like impact the people around me? I'm a very people person, right? So my purpose is to always, you know, serve others as they need to be served. I don't need anything in return, right? I just want them to be, you know, happy. I want them to be empowered. I wanted them to be equipped, right? I want them to be loved. I want them to find joy, right? So if all of those things, if they're like, hey, Sylvia, I have a challenge, I'm like, let's get on a call. Let's like text, whatever. Sometimes I might not have time, but like, I give you like 5 seconds of my time or something, or text me or something, right? So I think that that's something like the purpose of just being a servant, right, of others. I'm just, you know, again, as a Christian woman, I, you know, am at the feet of my Lord and Savior at all times. I'm like, what do you want me to do every single day? Right. I'm like that. Right. And I get whispers, or, I mean, I still get stuff done. Right. But I'm like, okay, so like, why am I having this one person's like face in my head? I'm like, okay, like I need to text that person. Like, are you okay? Cause like something's in my head. Right. So that purpose of just showing up, purpose of knowing that I'm just, you know, humbly doing what I need to do, not to have something towards, I mean, I always have goals and stuff like that, but like not something towards something that's irrelevant. Why? Right. So I think all of those things. And then as a mother as well. So I know that maybe you have some mothers on your podcast mm-hmm. listeners yeah. is raising good humans. Right. I mean, all my nieces and nephews too. It's like, I want them to be the best humans possible. Right. So if it, you know, and allowing them to ask questions that are, you know, are really important, right? And having a conversation and stopping to have coffee. That's why I said in my bio that I love coffees, because I love just sitting down with somebody, listening and really listening, like leaning in, right? And saying, what's going on? And, you know, having deep conversations and not shying away from that, right? So that's how we all become better humans, is that we show up for each other, we listen, and, you know, we provide what we know from like our lives. That's all I know, right? Of my life. And I think that that's, you know, and I mean, again, like I'm a missionary as well. So like the hands and feet of Jesus, and making sure that, you know, I serve, you know, foreign countries. We go to, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, every year. I mean, unfortunately the COVID did not allow us to go there, but that's another thing, is like, how do I serve truly the ones that are never served, right? Are never looked at, are underestimated to the nth degree. You know, I search for that, right? So that's another purpose of who I am.
Right. It sounds like, you know, your love of people is really shown through, of course, impact and service, but also seeing people for who they are, and mm-hmm. really, really seeing that by either, you know, by indicating that you're listening to them and you treat them as a human being. Mm-hmm. And that is so important, because all of us want to be seen, and mm-hmm. all of us want to be heard. And that is such a powerful skill that only someone as, you know, as effective and successful as you have been is able to employ. And that, you know, I've sat in meetings, I've interacted with people, random strangers on the street or my barber. And sometimes some folks don't have that skill. It's, they live life, you know, as if they have forever, and they treat people in a way that just mind blowing, you know, it's just troubling. Yeah. And right. So it really does come back to, is how can I as a person treat people in a way that they feel there's a sense of significance and invisibility. And
yeah, because you can't control what other people do, but you can control how you show up. Right. Mm-hmm. You can show up with gratitude. You can show up with listening. You can show up with honesty. You can show up with, you know, like an abundance of where are you at? Let me listen. Let me hear you out, mm-hmm. With no preconceived anything. So you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can't control what other people do. I've given up on that completely. Trust me. but how you show up is an incredible example for other people. Like, there's something about that person. And you're like, you know, let's have a conversation. Or, wow, like, that was pretty cool that you did this. Like, random people, right? Mm-hmm. The more that you show up authentically who you are, that's all that you can do, right? And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, speaking of authenticity, how do we get people to be more authentic in the world of social media, materialism, all that superficial things? As you know, companies, they design products to make sure that we as society feel like we're not enough, when really I think we're born with everything we need. Mm-hmm. And how do we get people to a place where they can feel worthy of themselves, that they are in fact enough?
That's like, you know, the $1 million question, right? So that's a hard one. You know, social media is a hard topic, right? Because Some people are very, very influenced by social media. Some other people are not. So I think that I want to kind of bifurcate that a little bit, because the social, even for me, like social media, part of it is like, just like, I need to be out there. I need to have a brand, and I'm always going to be authentic to my brand. I'm never not going to not be authentic, but how authentic am I? Probably I should be more authentic, right? If you see everything, I don't know. But I know that in the social media realm, even on LinkedIn, I communicate my values all the time. Right? Diversity, inclusion, listening, honoring, gratefulness, blessed, all of those. I use those words all the time. So it's not that I need to show up, oh my gosh, this is what happened to me today. And like, this is authentic. It's more of like, I authentically like lead and talk about people because that's really truly how I feel. Right? So that's one kind of area that is kind of hard. And then some people are like, oh my gosh, I need to show up in a different way because I need to have everybody see me in a different way. But I think on a personal level, right? Like when you have relationships, when you can show up one-on-one, like us, right? On a podcast, why do we need to be something else, right? So the more authentic that we can be, not like, let's say like, oh my gosh, I'm going to spill all my beans out, right? And be like, okay, this is like all of things that have happened. But when you can really have authentic conversations and have great kind of insight and histories being shared, mm-hmm. think about that as that history of people mm-hmm. being shared with other people. Mm-hmm. How amazing is that, right? Is to be able to say, wow, I learned so much, even from my students, my 20-year-old students at Biola, it's like, I learned so much from them just for them to tell me their story, right? And that's being authentic. It's not like saying, okay, how do I be authentic, right? It's more of like, just be yourself. You know, there's so much diversity in this world. And sometimes you feel like you're swimming upstream. I get it. Like I was the same sort of way, right? As a scientist, Latina woman, like what the heck with children as a scientist? I mean, like I was completely the opposite way of every single other scientist that I had come in contact with. But I just kind of say, look, this is who I am. I can't be anything else. I can't. I don't have the willpower. I don't have the energy, because I have two and then three crazy children around me. I don't have that. I just have to show up who I am and either love me or leave me. Like it's not, I can't do that. And I think that the more that you can be that authentic self, you attract the right people who are values aligned. You create a network that cares for you, that will show up for you when you need like funding, right? When you show, they will show up when you need other things that you need as an entrepreneur. So the more that you can be authentic in every aspect, personally, network-wise, social media-wise, the more it comes back to you, really in a way that is values aligned, right? If you are authentic. So it's coming from that individual, oh my gosh, I feel horrible about being authentic, to like understanding that by doing that, you create this ecosystem and this community, this village that supports you because you were first authentic mm-hmm. and they can be more authentic with you. And then you build the right network.
Yeah, I love that. And I apologize if my screen is just froze.
It's okay.
But we'll still continue this conversation.
Yes.
As is. Thank you so much for sharing that information. I think it's so important to show up as our authentic self. And in when we show up authentically, it also inspires other people to show up authentically. And exactly. That's the kind of impact that we want to make. And that's what this show is really about, is to create a world where people can show up fully and be celebrated for who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter their age, gender, sexual orientation, religion, what it is. Because at the end of the day, we are bonded by shared human values. That's what matter. And so, Sylvia, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy, busy, busy schedule to spend, an hour with us. If people want to connect with you after listening to this podcast, where can they find you?
LinkedIn is my platform of choice. So reach out to me, DM me saying, hey, I listened to you on this podcast. And that allows me to kind of see where you learned about me. And then She Invests is my website and also Instagram. So you can DM me as well there and Twitter. So you can connect me anywhere on social and I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Yay. Well, folks, if you enjoyed this podcast chat and you want to connect with Sylvia, you know where to find her. Please do like this episode and share it widely with your friends and family. Until next time, take care, everyone. Thank you.